Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Please feel free to call in or just listen in as our guest, Franz Dell, who is from Amsterdam and well-known and very active in many areas around the world, will be on with us today. He is also going to be bringing a guest on with him, Frank, let me be Frank, Lebrun. So let's welcome Franz Dell. Franz, are you on with us? Franz, can you hear me? We're having a bit of a problem here. Our guest is on with us, but I don't know if he can hear us. Franz, how are you? Thank you so much for coming on again.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I want you to just tell the audience a little bit about yourself and then go on from there.
Well, as I said before in the former shows, I'm Franz Dell. I'm a former warden from the Netherlands and now very active in all kinds of projects promoting humanity in the prison systems in the world and in the justice situation. And well, I brought Frank De Bruin. Are you still there, Frank?
No, I don't see him on.
Well, he probably he quit because it took very long, and he has to do a night shift tonight as well.
Okay. Well, what time is it? Your time is okay. Right now, here in the United States, it's 2:30. 2:30. Yes. Oh, I see. It was supposed to be at 2:00. I apologize. What in the world is wrong with me?
Ah.
Oh, Franz, I am so sorry. This is old age to me.
Let me see if I can, if Frank is still available.
Okay. Okay, is he still available?
I'm going to ask him.
Okay. Let me see. I could probably try to reach him on WhatsApp. Oh, my goodness gracious. What is wrong with me? Okay, let's see.
I'll wait for his answer.
Oh, okay. You had sent me his email to send the invitation. I don't have him on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I have him on WhatsApp. So I had some tonight, and because he has a night shift, he thought, well, it takes so long. Let's do it another time.
Okay.
So I suggest that we do that. You know, we just do it another time.
Do you want to reschedule, yeah. Franz?
Ah, he comes in now.
Oh, okay, very good. We won't keep him long since he has to work an overnight shift. Frank, I want to apologize, first of all. And I want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, things can happen. Franz and I already thought maybe there are some technical difficulties. And I was a little bit in a worry because in an hour I have to go to start my night shift.
We want to have you back on with us anyway. So whatever little time you can give us, this will be good. There's an echo going on. I don't know if it's the studio or if it's at your end.
Okay. At least I'm honored to participate, and I'm happy to be here.
Okay, Franz, I would like to have you and Frank, well, the audience already is very familiar with you, but if you can, Frank, tell the audience a little bit about yourself And how you and Franz became friends as well.
Yes, that's a nice story, actually, because shortly after I was released from my detention in Italy, I've been detained in Italy for 2 years, and shortly after my release, after Italy, I did 4 months as well in Holland. But shortly after that, I was connected with Franz on Facebook on one of the, I don't know how to translate it or the name exactly in English.
Social media?
Yeah, no, the group.
Oh, okay.
But at least I was searching for a way in to give readings and workshops in detention centers. And Franz told me that that this is going to be difficult, and that way we were connected. And then later, Toon Walravens is also a well-known person in Holland. He, Franz, and I became closer and closer, and now I can, at least for me, Franz is a well known as a good friend and a good person, and I only got to say. Yeah, you gotta love Franz. he's a wonderful person.
I'll tell you one thing: a lot of people do love him, and they haven't even met him yet. But he is not only so knowledgeable, and not only connected with so many organizations and agencies around the world, but Franz, he has a very, and I say this about a lot of people that I have interviewed or talked with from the Netherlands, and the personality, the characteristics of all of you have been really great. Everyone loves Franz. Everyone loves Franz Dahl.
Yes. Yeah, you're popular, Franz. Franz and Frank. Franz and Frank.
Yeah.
Now, Franz, you had mentioned, let me be frank, This is very interesting. It's included in your name. So this is what I'd like to know a little bit more about, and just to go on to let the audience know how that came about.
About the name, Let Me Be Frank?
Yes.
Well, actually, there was an idea of also doing a TV show online, just like this is a radio show online. Somebody asked me to do a TV show, and unfortunately, that never happened. But I needed to think about a name to call the show, and I was like, yeah, I can only be myself. I can only be as frank as I can be, and of course, it's like wordplay because my name is Frank, and that's the way I found out that Let Me Be Frank would be a very original and typical name.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So what do you work on now?
Right now, I have developed a workshop, a training. It's called Pen voor je leven. It's like translated. It's like when you need to run for your life, right? That's an expression also in America. And we say we have to ren voor je leven. And instead of running for your life, I was riding for my life. And that is what the expression means, ren voor je leven. And it's a concept, a workshop that helps people to be their own healer, actually. Because when you write your emotions, and you write it down, and later on you read it back. Then you you see that you are not longer in that emotion. Then you don't identify yourself no more with the emotion, because we never are the emotion, right? And that way people, they can consider themselves as self-healing and self-progressive, and yeah, it grows their self-esteem and self-respect. And it goes further than that, because it's also like discovering your talents. I'm also a spoken word artist,
and a writer, an author, just like Franz. So yeah, that is something what I'm willing to do a lot more than right now, but we will see in the future.
You mentioned the therapy that you get from it, and I myself have self-published several books in the past years ago, but one of the things I found after writing these books, when I went back to read them, it was almost like therapy to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much therapy to me because it didn't even seem like it was my book. But
yes,
these are the things.
I totally understand what you're talking about, because even I discovered the same thing. I was reading it, and it was like it was almost channeled, you know, from something outside of me that I was thinking, I never recall or never remember that I wrote it like this, and it's very, yeah, it's extraordinary actually. But it's nice to hear that you had the same experience.
Sometimes it takes tragedies to bring us to a point where we feel like we have to write something. And
yeah,
about our tragedies, or not so much our tragedies, but tragedies that people encounter around the world. And as I say, I encourage a lot of people to do as you and Franz have also done, is writing books, because there's so many people that have had so many experiences behind those prison walls, as well as in the communities, that I know would benefit them if they were to, and some of them actually are starting to, write books. There was a young man, he was in college in Texas, and he was framed, he was wrongfully convicted, and he served quite a few years in prison, but he was also from another country, so when he came out, they immediately deported him. And so he is writing a book now about his life experience. But these are very good reasons to write books. It's therapeutical, and it's also going to help others who have gone through the same experiences.
Yeah, there's also a nice story that I want to share, is that while I was in prison in Italy, I received lots of letters, because I was also writing a column in a women's magazine about my former life as, I used to be a well-known gigolo in Holland, and because of that I was writing a column. And when I was detained in Italy, I received a lot of letters of all the readers of the magazine, male and female. And one day there was a letter, and I saw the name on the envelope, and I thought, well, where have I seen this name before? And then when I opened it, I realized it was from Glenville, USA, and it was from a Dutch, a well-known mafia kind of person. It's a notorious criminal, actually. His name is Hank Orlando Romy, and he is known as the Black Cobra. They call him because he was able to stay out of hands of the of justice for a long, long time. But then he was entrapped, actually, by the FBI and some Dutch informants, and then he had to do 20 years in prison in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, he wrote the prologue of my book.
Wow.
It's a very, very, very extraordinary story.
What are your thoughts on the prison system in the United States in comparison to other countries, or mainly your country?
I'm not quite aware of the prison. The culture inside the American prisons. The only thing what I do find is what I hear on the news or what I see in the movies, and I guess it's not that far from reality. But I think the sentences are way, way too extreme, because sometimes you hear somebody had committed a crime, and they they expressed the detention in 99 years, for example. How is that possible? You know, we get life, or you get maybe 20 to 30 years. But sometimes the sentences that I hear from in America, they're so extraordinary and so long and inhumane, actually. That is what I think. For the rest, I don't know that much about. The only thing that I know is that the prisons in Holland, compared to Italy, where I was, I can see that as a difference between day and night, hell and heaven, because it's unusual. It's such a big difference, because in Holland, it's because I never was in prison before, but because I went to Italy first, and then I did some time, 4 months in Holland. For me, it felt like I was in a resort, but I couldn't check out, you know? So I had to stay in, but for the rest, it was so much better, actually, that it isn't even so hard if you compare it to Italy.
You know what's so interesting is lately I've been hearing so much about changes coming about in the United States. They're starting to Pennsylvania has taken on the Scandinavian approach, and there's a lot of changes being made. And I attribute myself, this is my own theory, but I attribute it to the fact that all of you from other countries have been talking about this. And I know that they have life sentencing in other countries when it comes to terrorism, when it comes to serial killers and mass shootings. But in this country, there are large populations of wrongfully convicted, first-time offenders, victims who became offenders. And there's so much injustice going on because the prisoners are targeted. Many of them are not allowed to participate in programs. Many of them have taken their documents, documenting the number of credits that they have gotten through classes, you know, and other participations. There's also a lot of human rights violations right in this country. So these are a lot of things that happen in this country. And I see and I hear now about changes. Even the Department of Justice has sent a notice around that, you know, they're looking at serious problems in the United States with mass incarceration. They're looking at reducing sentencing. They're looking at a lot of other things. And I just thank you. I thank Franz for coming on. I thank him for bringing you on and others from the Netherlands and that have come on, because I believe you're all making a difference. I have a friend, and some have already met her. She's originally from the Netherlands, and she lives in the United States, and she's been here since she was a child, but she still speaks the language. But she has the same personality, the same bubbly personality that all of you have. So it's in your blood. It's in that culture. And I love it so much when Franz and the others come on, because you're contributing something to this country. Even though people don't acknowledge it, the people in leadership roles don't seem to acknowledge it as much or want to acknowledge it. They're doing something slow but sure. They're doing something about it. So I know that they're hearing you, and I know that they're seeing you as a role model, just like Norway.
Yeah. Yeah, Scandinavia has better school systems. And I bet they also have better detention systems. I just told Franz that I was connected this week with a woman from LinkedIn, and I guess the name is Franz. Help me out. Scaled?
Rescaled.
Yeah, Rescaled. And they were visiting an open environment, an open prison in Finland, and it reminded me of same kind of penal colonia penale, they call it in Italy, and they Yeah, they work. They have several prisons, compounds on the location. It's like a forest, and they have three different small prisons over there, and everybody is working outside. They're chopping wood. They have a farm, and it's very quite similar actually. And when I sent her that that the link, she connected with me, and now I'm very curious about what they all do. But yeah, I got to thank you for the compliment what you just gave, because yeah, Fons and I we just being who we are, and it's nice to hear from persons overseas that that you consider it like that, because we don't even are aware of that people from America look at us like that.
They are. They really are. We live in a country that's, I think, kind of like overly proud and too proud to admit that other countries can give them some advice on how to do things. And I know that there are quite a few, even Franz Kurz from Germany has been advocating for a couple of wrongfully convicted prisoners in Ohio. You know, Jan Banning has been from the Netherlands has been advocating for a wrongfully convicted female in Georgia. You know, and Franz himself has been in the U.S. prisons. He's and he can talk about that, but he's been in Massachusetts prisons and also New York, and he's working with people in Texas.
Yeah,
it's just that all of you are doing so much in the United States, actually, and this is why. I don't know. I just wish that more people in the United States would take on that role as well.
Can I say something? Because you're talking about the wrongfully accused, and normally I'm not so fond of expressing per se that I've been wrongfully accused as well, because, you know, nobody believes it when you say it, you know. But the fact with me was like I was coming from South America from a job that I did, and they already checked me out with X-rays in the hospital because they believed that I was carrying somebody in my something in my stomach, and I was actually glad, because I thought, well, at least, you know, I can say that I have nothing to worry about. When they have the 100% check in my country, or in the transit where they have in Italy. So I was very confused and surprised that when they opened my hand luggage, that they took a little plastic vomit bag from my bag, and there was bullets of cocaine inside that were dropped out from somebody's you know, stomach. And I was actually kind of naive, I guess, because I said, well, I didn't even got scared at that time, because I was like, well, that's not mine. And if you want to be sure, then just run a DNA test, you know. And then they said, yeah, see, after, like they would say, yeah, we do that later. No? And I was trusting them to do it. Because I never had been in a situation that I the authorities of another country, so I was just them to do that. And one spoke my first time. I asked him, "How long does it take to run that DNA test? It's taking so long because I want to go home." And he said, "Well, that has never been a DNA test. What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, I asked for it," and they said, "Yes, yes, later." I said, "No, there's no." So, to long story short, there was no evidence to prove that I was innocent. And the X-ray, which they made in Peru, that was negative. So they don't keep those negative photos, only when they see something on it. So, like positive, you know. then they keep it as proof. But the negative photos, they throw away the same day. So there was no evidence, and they just had to put somebody in jail for that. And they gave me 3 years for maybe 400 gram. And in Holland, I spoke to a guy who was caught with a suitcase with 10 kilos of cocaine. And because it was his first offense, he got 8 months. 8 months for 10 kilogram, and I got 3 years for 400 gram. So that's also already a big difference. But now, because you just also said that sometimes we have to go to drama, and I'm now almost 50, I'm older, I'm wiser. I met a lot of nice people like Franz and the whole, you know, the forensic care in Holland. All the people are so nice and caring and on the same level. So I'm actually glad for that. I'm very grateful for that. But also, at the time that I was detained, I was so, I say that, panicked and scared, that I seriously thought about committing suicide. I'm glad I didn't, because right now, I always say to people when I speak, I managed to make my worst downfall to my best upgrade. So actually, I'm happy that I went through that, because it made me a much better person than I was before, even though I was innocent, because I'm richer. I'm richer in experience, even though I've been poor for several years when I came out of prison. But yeah, that's something that I got to thank the universe, God, however people want to call it. But I'm very grateful for that.
I want to thank you for sharing that too, Frank, because we have, in this country, we have a large population of suicide, a high rate of suicides in the American prisons. And something like that is, and if you just explained something too that I say should be more consistent in the United States. You said in Peru you were sentenced to 3 years. In another country, someone was sentenced to 8 months for having more. In this country, every single state is different, and I don't believe any state, any country should have different laws, different policies, different rules in each state. I can see if they're continents, but when it comes to a continent with 50 states, it shouldn't be this way. And this is why I say the United States has much to learn. This Pennsylvania prison gets a Scandinavian-style makeover and shows how the U.S. penal system could become more humane. This was the write-up. And they showed a prison. It said the United States has the largest number of people incarcerated in the world. Yeah. About 25% of all people in prison worldwide are in American prisons and jails. Overcrowding, violence, and long sentences are common in U.S. prisons, often creating a climate of hopelessness for the incarcerated people as well as the people that work there. So I can see where the depression would come in, the thoughts of suicide. And unfortunately, this is happening to so many people in prison around the world, but right now in the United States. They have a picture of a prison in Pennsylvania, and it says it has a fish tank in there. The place is really clean. It looks like it's entering like a hotel maybe, and it has a fish tank. And it says prisoners and staff share responsibility for taking care of the fish tank at the Little Scandinavian Housing Unit in a Pennsylvania prison. And this is what Franz speaks about all the time, you know, the humanity. And I understand that they call people in prison in other countries, in the Netherlands, by their name and not by numbers. In country, they call them by numbers. And sometimes, and many times, I've heard from so many prisoners that they are called animals often.
Oh, wow. And, yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah,
because I was stuck in even the cells in Italy are much different. They don't have a toilet where you can sit on. You have to sit how you say that, like you hang above a hole in an aluminum plate, like the bedrooms what you see in France along the road, you know, then it's very almost prehistoric, but it's inhumane. I was in prison cells between sometimes persons in a one person cell, so that's overcrowded, but also I've slept in cells with 25 persons, and I have seen people hang themselves. I have saved one of my cellmates from hanging himself, and he survived. Wow. This is the first time that I'm talking about it since long, and every time when I talk about it, it gets me emotional.
I know.
Because it's something that it's hard to forget. But sometimes it's good to talk about this. I know this because, when I hear you talk about the system in America, then it's very tragic for the people who have to go through there, because it's already very hard when they take your freedom. That's actually the worst punishment. Yeah? And if they also take your dignity and break you, actually, like you don't even feel like a person no more. That's the detention damage. What even I feel still sometimes.
You know, it's if people just thought of other human beings the way they think of their own family members, it would be so much. There would be so much peace and comfort, you know, in healing in the world. But it doesn't happen that way. I want to ask you and Franz, please give the audience the information about your books, where they can find it. I want to have you both back on again, and I know you have to work and go to work in the evening shift. So I'd like to have you both back on. It was my fault this time for starting late. And if you can, perhaps come back next week, either both, or I don't know if Franz is going to have time, but whenever Franz can join, I would love to have both of you on. So
I know Frank as a very powerful person. Despite everything he experienced, he has always been a very creative and a very strong and powerful flamboyant personality. You know, long before he had this experiences in prison, he already was pretty famous in the Netherlands because he was all over the news, because he had a very special history, you know, so yes, he is somebody you have to notice wherever he goes, and
thank you.
He's a real personality, and I love him very much because, as Frank says, he is very authentic. He is Frank, and he deserves that we all let him be Frank.
Wow.
That's what I think.
And Frank, authentic. You just said the word authentic. And that word means so much to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people.
We did quite a few things. We did podcasts together. We supported each other in different things. He did performances for groups of loved ones of incarcerated people. He did a lot of pictures. So he's a very, very energetic and active person. And I'm proud. I feel honored to be his friend because.
Yeah, back at you, Frank. I love you too.
Yeah, thank you. And after everything you experienced, and also the way sometimes society reacts on you, because society often doesn't like somebody with a personality like Frank, because he's too expressive and too loud and too open and too honest, and people get scared or
intimidated
or something, while he is the most sweet and non-violent person I know, you know? So that's what happens too with him. So I really think that, and he's working all the time, in security, and he's also attending people who are institutionalized and jobs like that. So he's always working. And one of the most powerful things about Frank is that he is, he never gives up, which is incredible. He never gives up. You just said that you thought about suicide when you were in prison in Italy. I really can imagine that. But I know you as a person who is not scared to live. You know, you really live your life. And compliments for that. I really think that's fantastic.
Well, you just made my day, Frans.
You quite a lot of times, and when you it's often like when you have the experiences Frank had in his life and a lot of people had in his life, it's hard to think positive about yourself, you know, because you get so much negative experience from some people around you. It's hard to think that you're okay, you know. Well, I suggest, because I have some activities in the next few weeks, very busy weeks, also on the Wednesday nights. If you can, Frank, it would be great if you were in Leona's show next week and go there as a guest. And I can promise you, Leona, that Frank has a lot not only to tell and to express, but he has also very nice things to perform, poems and things like that. So is that a good idea, Frank?
Yeah, I would be honored, because
I would love to have you on. You know, as they say, anytime you or anyone else from that end of the world wants to come on, please let me know. We need more people like yourselves on the show. Better yet, I wish we had more people like you in this country. I wish right now that Franz, I wish that you and Frank were running for the presidential campaign along with the vice presidential campaign, because it's so much needed in this country. We're lacking. We are lacking exactly what all of you are about. And if we had more people like you living in this country, I think this country would be very stable, and I think it would be very fair and just. But unfortunately, we're living in a country, it's representatives of every country in the world are in the United States, but yet they've become too Americanized, and a lot of them have forgotten how to have the characteristics that you and Frank have, Franz, and all the others that have been on the show from the Netherlands. And it's sad.
Yeah, but I'm not judging about nobody, because I think only God can judge, you know, but it's like the things, because I'm listening and you make me aware of the things that I don't think about daily, but I guess the overall mentality I don't want to generalize things, but overall, the American mentality is a little a little ignorant, maybe, and also they have big egos. Everything is about status, materialism.
Exactly.
From the outside, you know, social media, Instagram, and everybody's changing their face, their body, and it's like they're never content or satisfied with the way they are, the spirit, you know. It's like the spirit and the soul is so much more important than looks or stuff or cars or, you know, things you can buy. Because, I'd rather be broke and poor, but have a great personality and a lot of love in my soul to give and to receive, than to show off with a lot of cars, you can only drive one, for example. And that's maybe the thing that we look as Europeans to America, that sometimes Europeans say, yeah, America's a little bit crazy. But yeah, that is the way I see it through my eyes, and that is no judgmental meant, but it's just a big difference. And I can only tell you the way you, your vibe, your energy is getting to me, is that you can relate. You are like us, you know. You are just the same kind of person as you described us. So I'm very happy to be connected with somebody overseas, because not every American is like that, of course.
I traveled 11 third world countries and quite a few years ago, and I got to see a lot of poverty. And one of the things is, as you mentioned, you don't want to judge anyone in this country, but I will say the need for power and fame and greed and all this, that's a sign of insecurity. And there's a lot of people in this country, I believe, that are insecure. And rather than be the leader that they should be, they're followers. They feel they have to follow their peers who have more than they have or who are in a higher status. And that's not being a happy individual when you have to put on airs to keep up with your peers, or you have to follow them. You have to agree with whatever they say, whether it's right or wrong. I'm the type of person that I don't care what people think of me. I know right or wrong. I was brought up by two parents that taught us respect for others. We couldn't call anyone older than us by their first name. It was always Mr. or Mrs. You know, we had to respect. We had to, and we were taught not to make fun of anybody that was different, not to make fun of anybody that was disabled. You know, these are the things that all of these morals are no longer in existence in the United States of America, and that's sad. I don't condemn anybody in this country, but I do say that there's a lot of people that have just spent their lives trying to please other people rather than being their own leaders, their own individual self. Even the media, as you mentioned, the media, they dress alike, they talk alike, they laugh alike. You know, it's like robotic, and this is not, we're looking at the news, and most of the people, including myself, are looking at somebody's dress or the character or whatever it is, instead of listening to what they're talking about. They're trying to impress people by their looks, by their dress.
And as well, that is my opinion, and it's not only in America, but over the whole world, the media is only showing us what they allow us to see, because a lot of things going on, they don't even show.
No.
And if that's filmed or taped by anyone's phone or whatever, and they put it on YouTube, there's some big companies with a lot of power. They will make sure that they erase it from YouTube, or they even block you and you can never post something again. It's all about, you know, power. And the same thing is that television, I don't even look at television. I only watch movies that are, you know, giving me a good laugh, or, you know, for entertainment. But I decided not to watch the news no more, because it depresses people. You know, they only share bad news. Like now, there's only war going on. There's only drama. A lot of people suffering. And yeah, the world right now is not a really nice place to live in. And that's why I only think about what's making me happy. And it's even better if you can make other people smile and a little happy, like Franz just made me smile and colored my day while he was talking about me, because I don't even look at me like that. So yeah, that's why I love Franz as well.
It's called humility. We don't have much of that in this country either. I mean, everybody is not as humble as others from other countries. Not at all. But you're right about the news, and it's repetitive. You know, if you hear news today, you're going to hear the same news for the next year. And it's a lot of the news you're hearing is just repetitive. So it makes it very much difficult, because if it's just said a couple of times, a couple of days out of the week, and then go on to something else, it wouldn't be so bad. But the focus, if it continuously is repeated over and over again, then you're getting a mentality of frustration, you know, and it's just overwhelming. And as you say, I can turn the TV on right now and tell you before I even turn it on what it's going to be about. It's going to be about Ukraine and Russia. It's going to be about Israel and Gaza. It's going to be about Donald Trump. It's going to be about Joe Biden and his son. You know, these are the things that it's just been every single day, every single time you turn the TV on. And people get so frustrated. I want to say another thing. When you talk about crime, people in society, they get fearful of crime. But yet, when the producers of television shows make movies about crimes that have happened, the worse the crime, the more the money they're bringing in. And people in society talk about crime and they're fearful of it, but yet they spend all kinds of money going to see these type of movies. And again, I think this contributes to a lot of the injustices goes on in this country and the violence, because we have an epidemic in the United States of America of mental illnesses and addictions. And when you have people out in society that are looking at these type of movies, it's putting ideas in their head.
Not only movies, sorry to interrupt you, not only movies, but little children, they are almost addicted playing Call of Duty video games where they can shoot people. And, you know, they teach little children to grow up having fun by shooting people virtually. But some people, they get lost of reality, and the boundaries are getting much faded. And that's why I think that a lot of things, even here in Holland, especially in the city where my fiance lives, I come from a very small town called Nijmegen. That's near the border of Germany. And it's almost like a village. And even there's also crime going on, of course, because it's everywhere. But in Rotterdam, right now, little children of the age of 12, 13 years old, they walk with machetes, big knives. And it's like the drill rap is also pumping the energy up, the aggressive energy. And when they have a beef with somebody, they don't slap each other or punch each other in the face like, you know, we used to do. Now they or shoot you or stab you. And they don't even think about the consequences of being detained for a lot of years, you know, and that's something going on right here. It's like almost American situations. It's like they copy it. That is something that I'm really worried about.
Copy. You just said it. When I was in Africa, and I was doing some missionary work out there for the first and second deputy speaker. But anyway, there were these two young men walking down the road, and they were teenagers, and they were effing. And I turned around and I said, "What are you two talking about? What are you saying that for?" And they said, "They say it in America. These kids, they want to be so much like the Americans that they're picking up the bad habits, the vulgar language, all of these things, because they hear about it in the United States." And you just mentioned the same thing, and you talk about these young people out there doing all these things because they have all these shows, these movies and everything. A lot of the mass shootings in the United States are performed by young people.
Yeah. And because it's like peer pressure, what they're going through. And even the rap music, because I love rap music, but there's a difference between preaching, you know, and that's why next time when I'm on the show, I will perform a poem in English. I got to write it first, of course. But right now, I only have Dutch poetry. But I once was on an American poetry slam, and I was one of the actually, I thought I was the only white person, and the black guys over there, they heard me and they said, "Well, this is the first time that I hear a European white person performing like that, because it's like black poetry." I said, "Yeah, it could be, because I can relate more to that, you know, to positive sharing of yeah, real life things, you know." And here also in Holland, and of course it's in Dutch, but they also use the English word like bitches, hoes, I pop you, I'm on the block with my Glock and I don't give a fuck, and it's always so aggressive, you know.
That's why I don't like rap. I don't like rap at all. I don't like anybody talking like that, and I rap especially when it's just loud and.
Yeah, but at the same time, there are three very mature rappers in Holland. They're my favorite, and I also got the privilege to get to know them personally. There's Nino, there's Fresco, and Winne, and they only sing about like. They sing about Martin Luther King, for example, and they sing about other people who are very, how do you say that?
Role models.
Yeah, role models and like legends. Yeah, I love that, you know, to empower other people. And if you use the power of words in music and poetry, and you use that to encourage or empower other people, you know, if rap would be like, you know, like the old days with Boogie Down Productions and KRS-One and Rakim, they were like preaching, you know, they were preaching and they were rapping also about the street, but not about violence. That's a big difference. I can write a poem or a lyrics that sounds just as nice if you hear the rhymes and the wordplays, but I'm telling a story. I'm not talking about how many bitches I fucked or how many bottles I popped in the club, and it's also hollow and empty.
Yeah.
It's like only the beats are important right now, but the lyrics people don't listen to it, or it's just not interesting enough to listen to. That's why I only listen to those rappers with deep lyrics. And I would be honored if next time I can, so right now I'm going to do my night shift, so I have a lot of time to write, and maybe even I start, because I get inspired by this, and even I'm almost happy to start writing an American poem or an English poem, so next time I can perform it live in the show.
awesome, Franz. If we probably won't have you on next week with us then, right? But
no, I'm having some other activities then. But
okay, whenever I send out the invitation to Frank to come on the show, and it'll be next week, Frank, right?
The only thing is that right now I'm in this situation that sometimes, like for instance, right now, normally I had to close some objects like facilities, and then mostly I'm free at 8 o'clock. And then I can, for like now today, it was at 8:30. Then I can participate. It could be that sometimes I cannot stay the whole entire hour or one and a half hour.
Not only but we can adjust the time. We have it at 2 o'clock, but if you wanted to do it earlier, like 6 o'clock, we could have it at 12 o'clock my time, 6 o'clock your time. The time is no problem. I work around everybody's schedule when it comes to things like this.
Yeah, it's cool because maybe it's also handy that we change numbers so we can app each other to inform about the things that are changing, or you know that we can at least inform each other on time considering the program, because I really gotta say that I was tired just now before, you know, knowing I have to go to night shift, but just being on the show and listening to you and listening to Franz, it really gave me a lot of positive energy. So thank you for that, both of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think it's going to be a very nice broadcast next week, I'm sure.
What I'm going to do, though, Franz, as I started to say, I'm going to, whenever I schedule the shows, I'm going to send you the invitation anyway, even if you can't be on with us. If you do find time or ever want to come on, you'll have the invitation to just come right into the studio as well.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank both of you. And again, if your books are selling in the United States or wherever they're selling, because there are people in the U.S. that do have relatives and friends in other countries too. But if you want to give your information about your book, where they can find it, and the name of it, the name of your book is Let Me Be Frank. Is that right, Frank?
No. No, it's unfortunately one of the things that because right now, just because you mentioned it, I'm thinking again about how nice it would be if my books were translated in English, and I got a new publisher, and I gotta talk to him about this because maybe he's willing to do that. But I have one book already translated in Italian because I also want to publish it in my my book in Italy, because there I was detained, you know. So I hope one day they will translate it in English, and I have one English poem right here because I was looking at it if I still had it, and this was of the poetry slam, so maybe it's not really about the subject, but just to let the people hear what kind of text I performed for that poetry slam in America. It's very short, so if you want me to perform it, I'd be happy to do it.
We have a very interesting topic next week then when we have the show, and I want to thank you again, and I hope you will be back on with us, Franz, at some point in time too. But Frank, next Wednesday, which would you prefer, like 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock your time?
8 o'clock will be better. Will be better.
Okay, so it'll be about the time it was supposed to start today, and I was a half an hour late. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, then we will see you next week, hear from you next week. I want everybody to know Franz Dell and Frank DeBrown. Our guest today will be coming back on at some point in time. Frank DeBrown will be back next Wednesday at the same time. It will be 2 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. It will be 8 p.m. Amsterdam time. So please join us next Wednesday, everyone. And again, Franz and Frank, I want to thank you both so, so much for coming on. You're a refreshment. When you come on the show, it's like refreshing in this country because we don't see or hear enough about the people like yourselves and the countries that you're from. So thank you so much for coming on. If you have anything you want to say to the audience before we close, please feel free to do so, both of you.
Well,
bye-bye, Frank.
No, I just want to say something to close it down. I want to thank you, Franz, for inviting me to be a guest on this show. I want to thank you also. I want to say God bless to all the people in America.
And next week, I am willing to perform an English poem about my books. They only are you can listen to audiobooks, but it's all in Dutch. So, yeah, I guess it really has no use to call it. But the title of my book in English is, we say, the clouds, behind the clouds, the sun will shine. And I said, behind the bars, the sun will shine. And that is what Frans said to me also. Frans is like the sunshine in the heart of a lot of people. And that's why, you know, I'm really happy to have him as a friend. So again, Frans, thank you all for the mooie woorden. Thank you for the beautiful words you just expressed about me. I can only say the same thing to you. You're a good person, and I wish the world had lots more people like you.
You, both of you. And Frans Dal can be found on the internet. Frans Dal with the D-O-U-W. And Frank DeBruin, I want to ask you, are you, I haven't checked that out yet, but are you on WhatsApp as well?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so people can connect with you on WhatsApp too. Both of you at that WhatsApp is good too. So again, I want to thank you both for coming on. You're a blessing, both of you, and I want to thank you so much for sharing some of your information about the countries that you're from, the country that you're from, and the work that you do. And I'm sure I belong to 42 groups on social media. And I send out the notices and the link to this show to everybody. And not one group has denied it. They've all approved it. And they've all, a lot of the people that are in the groups are liking your interviews when you come on. So I know that they're listening. I know that they're hearing what you're saying, and they appreciate it. So I want to thank you both for coming on again. And I look forward to the next time you come on, which is next Wednesday. We are on the air. We are national. And so the word is getting out there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Audience, we are going to end this episode now. We look forward to our guest coming back next Wednesday. Join us. Call in. Feel free to call in. Feel free to ask questions or just listen in. Thank you. We are now ending this episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.